Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
This is Dom Flugenger on site at HIMSS 2014. I'm with Doug McDonald, Wireless Network Manager for the Henry Ford Health System in Michigan. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Don. Good to be here.
Give us an idea of the scale of Henry Ford's wireless network, you know, the number of buildings, number of users, any stats to give the listening audience a sense of its scale.
Sure. So we have a fairly mature wireless infrastructure at Henry Ford. So now we have about 100 buildings. I believe we're up to 103. It changes literally almost daily at this point, so it's hard to keep track of. But we're in all the major hospitals. We have 5 major hospitals, all sorts of clinics, all sorts of physician offices. We really want mobility to be everywhere in Henry Ford and be able to connect any device no matter what facility you're going to be in. So you have a very nice experience, seamless experience. You don't have to reconfigure anything. Everything's good to go. So we have 4,500 access points. Those connect to 16 controllers. We are seeing about 12,000 plus users per day. Definitely changes per day. On a daily, weekly basis, we see an increase in users. We've seen a huge, obviously, the trajectory of users has really grown. So year-over-year growth has started since 2006, both in infrastructure and in user count. So we do service guests. We have free guest access. Those are at least 5,000 a day and growing. And we have the Epic My Chart so that the guests can actually look at their charts now within the facility, as well as do basic surfing and have a good customer experience. So we have a good story. We've grown quite well, and we have a very very good wireless system at Henry Ford Health System.
And earlier you were telling me how you've experienced 100% growth year over year for how many years in your wireless network usage?
Sure. 2006 we started, really 4 devices. And really, actually, it was probably late 2005. By the end of 2006, we had 100 users, and we've really grown. Really, the biggest business driver has been the electronic medical record system and really the need for mobility. So we've really, really got a lot of our budget worked out through the EMR expansion, and with that has come new devices, new carts, new gizmos and gadgets for Wi-Fi. To really improve the clinician workflow.
How do you plan for infrastructure expansion and growth when you're growing that quickly? How do you project budget for the next 3 years when you don't even know how many devices are going to be on it? If it's going to be guests, if it's going to be clinicians, how are you managing data?
Sure, absolutely. That's plan is really the key word there. So I'm glad that you said that. So you really have to take a very careful approach to planning proper network design and planning the proper network design the first time so you don't have to come back and you know, put the clinicians through a bad experience or the patients for that matter as well. So what we did is we were able to get a project to say we're initially going to do 52 site designs for all 50, you know, big chunk of facilities that would be going live with the EMR. So 52 facilities, we're going to go in with a boots on the ground approach, and we're going to meticulously design with a methodology called survey on a stick. So we actually take the access point that we would deploy, we put it up within the facility, we use software to comprehend what's happening there and design things to a T, to a design specification. And we found that to be very successful. So once we got the budget to design this big chunk of facilities, then we could say, okay, this is exactly what it's going to take. Here's the cabling bill of materials. Here's the number of access points we need to purchase. So we got ahead of it with the design and then came back with, well, what's phase 2 implementation?
So you have a tough job in that you have to please all of the people all of the time. You have to please your compliance officer to make sure that clinical data doesn't fall into the hands of somebody who isn't authorized to see it. And you have patients who want to stream Netflix in their room. How do you manage all that?
So that's really, I think, the biggest challenge that anybody in Wi-Fi infrastructure is facing right now. And really, there's a fine tightrope of walking and providing everybody the best service, if you will, while you're juggling medical devices that are, you know, potentially life-sustaining. You're juggling guest access. So people want to have a robust experience. At the same time, you have people on the EMR system. So that's really the big challenge I see, and we've seen a big evolution of planning for that coverage-based, which was initial. It was, we're going to throw a couple APs in. It's going to cover the whole floor. There's not that many devices. You don't have to be that precise, to more of a density design where you have to look how many APs cover this area. We have a minimum of 2 and 3 in some instances where you do location-based. So that's really what we've had to do is evolve with the times and add the amount of infrastructure that could support the mass number of users.
And I know today you're here talking with us on behalf of Extreme Networks, and you use several other vendors for hardware and mobile device management. Sort of give us a little description of the infrastructure and how that all works together.
Sure. So we have a variety of different vendors. So we use Extreme for the wireless. We have Avaya, Norvaya switching infrastructure. Some of our facilities now have Cisco. We're a Juniper security shop. We're using AirWatch for our MDM integration. Well, that's a neat combination. So we're using policy, and really my next point to your last question was we're using policy now, and we're rolling out policy so we can put device types and need for low latency into policy groups. So voice and video would have preferential treatment over, say, a resident or over any other traffic, so that we make sure that we give them a robust service. So as we evolve with these integrations like AirWatch, bring your own device, we have policy that you will get X amount of bandwidth as a BYOD user. So you may get base services like access to our Citrix point, and then maybe you get the Epic EMR stuff within that, and then basic internet services. So we actually, the policy is going to throttle you to what your real needs are, so we can really balance what's happening there on the wireless infrastructure.
So a lot of your peers in American healthcare are sort of going through the same process you did a couple of years ago. They've set up the EMR. You know, they're getting their EHR incentives, and they're now realizing that they have to support this with bring your own device and wireless, because the physicians and the nurses are asking to use their iPads from home or their iPhones or their laptops or whatever. They want to do it their way, and the CIO says, of course, give them the tools, whatever it takes to have them use this EMR to its full potential, whatever that is, right? So what advice would you have for your peers who may be a year or two or three behind Henry Ford in choosing the right vendors, whether it's, you know, Extreme, AirWatch, or other products that you're not using? How do you do that vendor selection and make the right call without wasting resources on something you don't need?
Sure. I think the first thing is that a lot of times what I found with our peers is that there's a huge focus on the application, but not necessarily the infrastructure that's going to be delivering that application. So a lot of times it's like an afterthought, oh, gee, we have to hook up all these devices. How do we do that? Well, you have the EMR sitting over here, and now you have this army of devices and users coming in the other door saying, okay, we're ready to use it. I found a lot of cases that they're not really planning for the infrastructure appropriately to match that large investment within the application space. That being said, we went through a very rigorous RFI, RFP process. We really took a look at you know, what the ROI, what the management platforms were, what the ease of use, the total cost of ownership from a support perspective. And we went through all of that to really look at the vendors. There's a lot of really good vendors out there. We were even more looking for things that were open standards. We didn't want secret sauce or vendor-specific protocols. 802.11i and these different security protocols are really good to have open standards, especially when you have a lot of different infrastructure. Some infrastructures work really well with only that infrastructure. Some work, you know, in a hybrid environment like ours. So Extreme's been a good fit for us to have that hybrid approach, to have a different switching vendor, to have a different security vendor. It's worked out really well.
Last question. What's your number one security tip, your biggest piece of advice for your peers, now that you've gone through this monstrous growth in your own wireless infrastructure?
Sure. I think that at the end of the day, you don't want to be like some other industries we've seen, like Target. You don't want to see yourself in the headlines. Therefore, you better make sure that your wireless is secure. If you don't have the expertise, there's plenty of people out there that will help you. For a large organization like us, there's no way we could get around not having a wireless intrusion protection detection system.
Right.
Really, when you start to look at some of these regulations and also your company policies, you really have to match your security program around both of those pieces, both your internal policies of your hospital system as well as the regulatory. And it gets really complicated when you start to look at things like PCI, where they're actually going to tell you that you need to, you know, do an assessment quarterly, or you need to have scanning available, you know, 24/7, and that's what we have. So that's really the most important. Obviously, you need to really know your encryption. I'm a firm believer in no matter what encryption is out there, it only takes time and money to break. Eventually, everything's going to be broken. We've already seen that with WEP. If you use WEP, that's a very bad thing. Friends, don't let friends use WEP. TKIP is also broken when you look at WPA, WPA2. But all these things have some sort of exploit. Even WPA, you know, you have rainbow tables and dictionary attacks. And there's so many different things that you need to be aware of, because remember, unlike the wired side, layer one, really, no matter what you do, some wireless is going to come outside the building. And if you buy a very unsophisticated device that you can kind of, they call them the wireless sniper rifles, and you can basically access the network or record data from up to 5 miles away. I've seen, you know, even up to 10 miles away. So you have to be very, very serious about your security program with wireless. You can definitely secure it appropriately, but you want to be very careful. You know, you don't want to find yourself in the headlines.
All right.
Number one tip.
Well, thank you very much for your time. This has been very informative.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.